thank you very much. It's a real privilege to be with you this afternoon. And you couldn't have done a better lead into the topic by defining like you did. So I want to look at the question of what is a disciple? And it's one who imitates one's teacher in all areas of life. This morning on the way here, there was a Jewish gentleman with his son crossing the street in front of me, and he had the black hat, the curls down the side, black dress, black trousers, and he's trying to imitate his rabbi from about 150 years ago. And so he's dressing like him, looking like him, trying to imitate in all aspects. But that's a good example of what a disciple is. Contextual discipleship is teaching disciples to apply the Word of God to all areas of life and to all cultural issues and challenges. And this is where we're starting to run into problems in the Adventist Church. It seems that we are very good at teaching people the faith statements of Adventism, the 28 fundamental beliefs. However, when people give assent to those faith statements, a lot of times they haven't been taught how to apply those statements and the other principles of the Word of God to the everyday life challenges that they face in their cultural setting. In 2013, the General Conference commissioned a global church member survey. They received 26,000 responses from 9 divisions. And then in 2018, they commissioned the second one. They got 63,000 responses from all 13 divisions. And as you look at some of the issues, and then we're only going to look at 2 or 3 of them today, we find that there are some troubling things that came out in those surveys. It seems that we have done a better job of teaching the faith doctrinal statements of Adventism than we have of helping people apply it to the cultural challenges they face in their cultural setting. One item on the survey said, when people die, their bodily remains decay, and they have no consciousness or activity until they are resurrected. Man, almost 90% of the people agreed or strongly agreed. That's fantastic. That's pretty good. However, in a subsequent statement in the same survey, it asked, the soul is a separate part of a person and lives on after death. 8.3% were not sure. 32.5% of Seventh-day Adventists, though, strongly agreed or agreed that a soul is separate and lives on after death. That's troubling. It's a disconnect between the 28th fundamental belief that talks about that and then how they apply it in their cultural setting. One other one. People who have died believing in Christ are in heaven right now. 8.2% weren't sure. Well, at least they weren't sure. But 19.5% agreed or strongly agreed that when you die, if you believed in Christ, you're in heaven right now. That's troubling. That's a quarter of Adventists are confused on this issue. So I again believe that these statistics reveal deeply held cultural and religious values and assumptions that continue to intermingle with the faith statements of Adventism. It seems that these examples illustrate that in all regions of the world, and it wasn't just Africa, some of the highest agreement on the previous one was in Central and South America, where people with a Catholic background believing in an immortal soul were also among that group. So we'll have more statistics soon when they're all released, but right now they only want us to talk about the world statistics. I think that as we begin to present the gospel to people in the world religions, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, secular postmodern people who don't have a Christian background, we need to do a better job of discipling. We need to spend more time helping them apply the word to their cultural beliefs. What are some of the causes? that have caused this disconnect. It seems that over the past 35, 40 years, the very character of Adventism has changed in many parts of the world. There seems to be an eroding commitment to beliefs and values. We used to be known as people of the book. Many Adventists now are biblically illiterate, and that's troubling. At the risk of offending some, I believe that part of the responsibility for this discord between beliefs and the application of those beliefs can be attributed to the widespread evangelism methods that have become the norm in some parts of the world. Many of the world divisions have a history of very short evangelistic meetings, after which they baptize a lot of baby Christians. And if you don't have a continuing discipleship program that goes on, a lot of those baby Christians just die and go out the back door. And I think that's part of what we're starting to see. Another contributing factor is that we have a tendency to use foreign evangelists. And I'm sorry, I think that we should train local people to do the evangelism, because local people know the local cultural issues. Mm. A foreign evangelist can't speak to witchcraft or fear of ancestors in Africa like a local African can. And in this country, a foreigner can't speak to cohabitation and same-sex marriage the way that somebody from this part of the world can speak to. So, yes, it's nice to go and hold an evangelistic meeting somewhere else, but I think that there are problems associated with inviting foreign evangelists to come and do the preaching. Furthermore, a lot of foreign evangelists use all these gimmicks, use all kinds of PowerPoints and stuff like that, and then the local people say, well, I can't afford that, so I can't do evangelism. So we kind of cut the nerve of local evangelism by importing evangelists. And then, if in the conversion process, belief in an immortal soul or the intercession of saints and the strongly held fear about ancestral spirits and a host of other cultural issues are not explicitly dealt with, it's little wonder that there is a disconnect between belief statements and the application of those beliefs to the local issues of life. And another danger of discipleship that is not contextual is dual allegiance. This is a worldwide problem. It's present in every division of the world. Many Adventists in the Western world follow their culture rather than following biblical principles in areas such as dating habits, divorce and remarriage, issues of modesty. In other parts of the world, issues of dual allegiance are found in areas such as how women are treated, the continued visit to diviners and shamans, or the fear of curses and witchcraft that cause members to continue to seek protection from witch doctors. In 1994, the world was shocked by the horrors of genocide in Rwanda. More than 90% of the population of that country at that time was Christian. The largest church was Catholic, second was Anglican, and the third was Seventh-day Adventist. Some people said that we had about 10% of the population that was Seventh-day Adventist. And yet, Catholics killed Catholics, but Adventists killed Adventists. I believe that there are lessons to be learned. It's very interesting that Muslims did not kill Muslims, and Mennonites did not kill Mennonites. And as I've talked to a Mennonite pastor who was there, he said part of the thing was they discipled their members in the area of peace, and lack of violence, loving each other, and Muslims emphasized brotherhood. So two groups that discipled in those areas didn't have their members killing each other. We discipled in other areas. Our Adventists waited till sundown to kill. And that's not a joke. They waited till sundown to throw in a grenade in the church. So what we disciple to is what gets focused and changed in people's lives. So how do we do discipleship for a global church? I think that there are four things that have to happen. It has to be intentional. It has to be built on community. It has to address all areas of life. And it must be contextual. Let's look at these very quickly, one by one. I'm just thankful we had the PowerPoint for the statistics. That was good that we could see that, so we'll just go on. Don't worry about it. Discipleship in any context is never automatic. Do any of you know of a discipleship program that just runs on its own and is self-perpetuating? Okay. Knowing belief statements does not automatically translate into a lived reality where the implications of those beliefs are translated into everyday responses to the cultural issues. Discipleship must be intentional, must be systematic, and it must be planned in a way to teach people how to apply the Word of God to all areas of their life. And I think every division could be stronger in this area. I don't know of any discipleship that's taking place in North America that is teaching our young people about biblical dating habits in contrast to cultural dating habits. And how do you deal with same-sex marriage, homosexuality, all the issues that they're being bombarded with? We're pretty much silent about that. So it must be intentional. Number two, it must be built around a community. Discipleship must be done in a family or a small group. Relational discipleship allows for accountability and the opportunity for group discussions on issues that are affecting the people. Jesus surrounded himself with 12 disciples for 3.5 years. They had the opportunity to ask questions and to receive corrections, and they still blew it, didn't they? It took, Peter still thought that it was okay to treat Samaritans and Gentiles badly, and it took a lot of direct teaching from the Holy Spirit to change some of his ingrained cultural habits. Discipleship must deal with all areas of life. It must be holistic. A disciple of Jesus does not live a compartmentalized life, acting and looking a certain way on Sabbath and then looking much like the culture the rest of the week. Disciples are imitators of Jesus Christ 7 days a week. It's not enough to know the faith statements, the 28 fundamental beliefs, and agree with them, but never learn how to apply them and the biblical principles to the challenges of our cultures. And all of our cultures throw challenges at our members. And so a disciple is somebody who says, I want to imitate Jesus Christ in everything I do, everything I think, and everything that I'm a part of. And then third, discipleship must be contextual. I've already mentioned several issues. If we live in a culture where same-sex marriage and cohabitation are accepted lifestyles, then discipleship needs to address those issues. If we live in a culture where the fear of witchcraft and ancestral spirits are the issues, discipleship needs to address those issues. And so discipleship will be different in different parts of our world as Seventh-day Adventists. And that's what I mean by contextual discipleship. The goal of discipleship is to have biblically shaped beliefs, biblically shaped behavior, and biblically shaped values and assumptions that allow us to function and act in our society as a true disciple of Jesus Christ, who imitates what Jesus would do in all of those settings. I would like to also recommend that there needs to be much more emphasis in our Bible classes and in our evangelistic meetings on applying the Word of God to the cultural issues that people face. And this is why I guess I'm quite opposed to foreign evangelists. They come into a community, they preach on the 28 fundamental beliefs, people say, wow, that's fantastic, and we're good at it. We can present our beliefs in beautiful ways, and people respond. The Holy Spirit draws people into our church. But then the evangelist leaves, and who's going to help the people, those baby Christians, learn to apply the Word of God to the challenges in that cultural setting. And so much more emphasis on teaching disciples how to apply the Word of God. In North America, if the Adventist Church continues to only emphasize the 28 fundamental beliefs as it prepares people for baptism, we will find that Adventists are drifting further and further from having a biblically shaped view of cultural issues such as same-sex marriage, Halloween, the occult, cohabitation, divorce, and what appropriate behavior is when dating. If these topics are not included when preparing our people in this division, we're going to have trouble. And I really believe if we think that women's ordination was an issue, wait until a whole group of people who have grown up in an environment where same-sex marriage and homosexuality are just another alternative lifestyle, wait till they become the board members in our churches. Discipleship, contextual discipleship, can deal with those issues now. If we don't, I think we're going to face serious problems. Thank you.